Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
We're on.
Woohoo!
And we're on. This is the first podcast recorded in 2019.
Yes, blood, yes. And we start with a tribute to the late, great Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah.
Died about a week ago when we were recording this. Mean Gene was getting on a bit in years. He luckily didn't have a period of any ill health, but it was still sad to see him go.
Yeah, and also I think this podcast has taught me anything, it's that wrestling isn't really regarded by anyone outside of, like, I don't know, a certain underclass.
The
wrestling media.
And the Daily Star.
And the Daily Star. Okay, they've got to pay something. Well, it really annoyed me because Marty Funkhauser, Bob Einstein, from Curb Your Enthusiasm, he also played a great character in Arrested Development. He was on the BBC website.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, fair dues. He's on the BBC website. But could Mean Gene get a spot on the BBC website? A man who's worked tirelessly for decades at wrestling and basically worked his entire life.
You're absolutely right there, because you might say, well, wrestling is a minority interest.
Yeah.
But it's been watched by hundreds of millions of people. Mm. And Mean Gene has been doing it since the early 80s in a national role.
Yeah.
Now, Bob Einstein, nice, you know, great performer,
Yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, Arrested Development, both quite minority interest things.
Exactly.
And he's not the main guy on them.
No.
A lot of the tributes that I read, they were talking about how he was one of the writers for the Smothers Brothers.
Mm.
Now, I worked in comedy for a long time. The Smothers Brothers, I've heard of. I would say if you went out into the street, 99 out of 100 people would not know what the Smothers Brothers was.
No, I don't know what the Smothers is.
They were
like
talking to us like we all know it. Why didn't they just do that with Mean Gene?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he was the voice of the explosion of American wrestling in the 1980s, the biggest it ever came to. The biggest, I mean, again, it's, do you know what it's like? It's like video games.
Mm.
If you like something, but there's a 55-year-old lord who, I was about to say, who doesn't like it, but then wrestling is full of 55-year-old lords. Alfred, there's Atol Oakley, there's Stephen Regal. It's the
terrible
wrong choice.
Example.
Really
terrible
bad example.
Pia. But, so it used Pia.
Yeah, what was funny is you, odd people like Lord Alfred Hayes. When I was going through some boxes over Christmas when I was bored, I found that I'd taken out the Guardian obituary when Alfred Hayes had died.
Right.
And that seems to me a strange thing, that the Guardian will give half a page in their obits to Lord Alfred Hayes.
Mm.
But there's no mention by any mainstream media of Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah. Is that because Lord Alfred Hayes, obviously he was a British wrestler, but also he ran for Parliament and
I think he actually became a Conservative councillor in Islington.
Right, okay.
In the 60s. I mean, I'd have loved to have been at those meetings, I tell you. Absolutely amazing.
Hello, I'm here for the meeting, chair of the meeting.
Why is the town hall upside down? don't look at that. Look at this.
We sold all of the council buildings to, oh God.
But it is funny, and it's only when you sort of enjoy wrestling.
Well, I wouldn't have given the first flying shit this time last year.
Yeah.
But now I'm like going, no, that's not fair.
Yeah, it
that's
really isn't.
That's not fair in the slightest.
You know, we get pioneers like Chris Benoit who make the mainstream medium sit up and pay attention to this wonderful sport. But, I mean, it is odd, the huge sort of nature of being a wrestling star. You know, you're seen worldwide.
Yeah.
And it is just funny that in this country, we sort of look on it very sniffily.
Mm.
If it was an actor like Bob Einstein, I'm probably saying his name wrong. I can see it in my head as Einstein.
Einstein? Yeah, I think it's Einstein.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, no, but I think they do call it Einstein, don't they?
Bob Einstein, again, is a very, very minor actor in a world of a lot of actors.
Yes.
Mean Gene Okerlund was a unique wrestling announcer.
Yeah.
It just seems a bit odd that if you're going to go for one tiny minority performer that you won't have heard of, Why not go for one who's at least their life story is fun to read about?
Yeah, he's one out of probably five men who did that job to that level, yeah. I suppose. You know,
I mean, what would you prefer to see in your paper? A picture of a man you don't really know with Larry David? Ooh. Or would you prefer to see Mean Gene in sportswear with Hulk Hogan roided off his nuts screaming in his face?
Exactly.
I know what I want in my quality paper.
A man who I'm surprised lived to the ripe old age that he did, because he must have been spat on by so many wrestlers over the years, and they have so many diseases.
All the airborne sort of TB and glandular fever and staph infections just dripping off them.
But there were some beautiful kind of clips of Mean Gene like that came out obviously after his death and stuff, and it was really sort of nice to see sort of people posting on the WrestleMe account and stuff.
Yeah.
But forwarding old clips. There was a great collection of WWE kind of promo clips that they'd supplied Sky TV, I think, in the
yes.
90s. And it was just went, and it was just him going over and over. And he is a pro. He
yeah.
doesn't miss a beat. He knows who everyone is. He never messes up. He knows everyone, where everyone's going, what title they're going for. And he's like, he's just in and out. Right, next wrestler, in, out, in, out.
Totally. He's also got a lovely, smooth voice.
Yeah.
It's a really reassuring voice. You have all of these people screaming, shouting, you know, doing their ridiculous promos. You used to see him with the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
And he at least brought a bit of dignity to it. He's like a parameter. He'll sort of sit there going, well, you heard him say it.
Yeah.
And off they go. And he was just, again, it was that slight thing of it looked professional.
Mm.
He was really underrated in that respect.
Oh,
that he gave it a bit of sort of dignity.
Yeah. In a time when, to be honest, when we started watching this, he was the only adult in the fucking room,
yes.
it seems like.
Yeah.
Gorilla and fucking Lord Alvarez didn't have a clue what was
he's got a really interesting life. I don't think he actually wrote an autobiography, which is unusual for wrestlers of that generation.
Yeah.
He did a lot of sort of autograph signings and legends appearances in the last sort of probably 20 years.
Mm.
Did probably very high there as a tribute to Mean Gene, who would never have gone probably. Gene would always have gone probably.
Very, very like smooth. A very smooth professional.
Yeah. But he never wrote about it, but I can only imagine what his life must have been like.
Yeah.
The wrestlers had to go out there and perform after the night's out, but Gene didn't really have to do very much. He just had to turn up and go, well, he's coming in now. Hercules, get over here. Done.
Yeah.
You could get wasted. And I hope he did spend 30 years just going, I am so drunk. I am having the time of my life. All I have to do is make sure I just leave this room and then I get on a bus and it takes me somewhere I don't even know where. Wonderful. And then I stand in the locker room and go, Moondog Spot, what you gotta say? Lovely. Dream job.
Yeah.
Dream job.
Mean Gene Okerlund. Rest in peace. We're back with another WrestleMe. Thank you very much to everyone who listened over the Christmas period. I think one of our most popular shows was like a really weird one.
It was Sid versus Night Stalker. I mean, why do we bother? Why do we bother? Do you know what people want? They want muck and crap.
Well, they're going to get it in this episode, I'll tell you what. We've moved forward. We're back to WrestleMania. This was kind of our raison d'etre, our reason for getting up in the morning, but we deviated a little bit because I think it's important to bring in other flavours and other situations that I'm not aware of, because at the end of the day, it's my education. This is my wrestling education. So,
And you've actually reached 15 now, which I think isn't that almost sort of GCSE level? So
yes.
you're getting
I'm going to take my GCSEs.
I mean, you haven't started your apprenticeship yet.
No.
But we're getting you to a position now where you can confidently write a three-sided essay.
Yeah, we're not
about Hacksaw Jim Duggan's foam 2x4s.
Yeah, there is no wrestling university. It's very much BTEC.
Yeah.
It's very much YTS schemes.
Yeah.
Vocational work only.
Yeah. It's basically about. If there was one university that they'd never change from being polytechnic, that's it.
Yeah.
The wrestling poly.
I didn't even graduate from my wrestling polytechnic because I had outstanding library fines. If you've ever heard me on any other podcast, I will have told that story a million times.
There is no library at wrestling poly. The last thing you need's a book.
No.
What are you, a pansy?
The only book in there is owned by the poet, and that's his book of poetry.
Yeah, the genius's book of poetry.
Oh, yes,
but
yeah,
if you open it up, it's just full of like human growth hormone. Someone's hollowed it out with their teeth on a massive coke
I know
rage bender.
Oh, a man from Poughkeepsie. Oh, it's now just drugs.
This is just drugs. Goodbye.
So we're in Philadelphia, Mark.
Yeah, and it's been a while since we've done a WrestleMania, it seems.
It seems like it's a completely different world.
Doesn't it? It's a funny WrestleMania, this, because it takes place at a time when the WWE were really pulling away from their nearest competition, WCW.
Yeah.
This is 1999, and really, 99 and 2000 are the years that kill WCW.
Right.
They're just running it into the ground. The money's out of control. The storylines are terrible. The inmates are running the asylum. Whereas WWF is hitting the Attitude Era. And this is the midpoint, coming towards the end of the key bit of the Attitude Era, which is why it's so sort of surprising that this is quite a bad WrestleMania.
There's a lot thrown in there. There are so many different kinds of matches. A lot of glitz, a lot of glam, a lot of tits.
the crowd love everything that happens, you know, but when you look back on it, you go, right, well, the matches aren't actually very good.
No.
No one really has a lot of time. There are loads of these storylines everywhere that are just so confusing. Like a year's worth of storylines building up to something that lasts 3 minutes, and then they do a storyline off the back
of it. And you've kind of got to be across it. And like, I guess, maybe all of the people who were in that auditorium at the time sort of spent the previous night at that little party they put on.
Pete.
But we'll get on to that, presumably.
Oh, Pete, that's the best thing I've ever seen.
But maybe that was just them going, right, do you remember why we're feuding? Do you remember why we're beefing? Do you remember why The Undertaker's outside Vince McMahon's house?
Yes.
Do you remember that? Why?
Yeah.
No,
I don't. This is the era that I think one of the first things we ever saw that made you really go, ah, this is hilarious.
Right.
This is the era of the Big Boss Man burying his father and the Big Show burying his father and the Big Boss Man hijacking the coffin on the back of a 2x4 and driving through a cemetery while the Big Show is trying to hug his dead dad's coffin.
So this is something we mentioned, I think, on the very first show when we were talking about the mixture of reality and the fake. And it's actually, I know we mentioned it on this first show because I showed my dad the Hell in a Cell Mick Foley versus Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
And he was tutting about as loud as a man could tut. And I was going, Dad, why? He said, why are you into this? Like, your mum is not my cousin and we don't live in Arkansas. I said, Dad, it's not about that. It's about the carnage. It's just about the mixing the real and the fake and how keeping this business together is actually, it's like spinning plates, but they're the biggest plates in the world and the plates are on steroids and they're drunk and they abuse their wife. And I'm explaining about it, and he's still having none of it. And I'm going, no. And so I cleaved out the first speech that you make in the first show of WrestleMe just to play it to my dad. I mean, he's still having none of it, so fuck him, but, you know.
My dad said to me...
You can come in a big 2x4. You can come in a big pickup truck and drag my dad's body through the streets.
While you hug it, screaming, see, Dad, this is why it's a top form of entertainment that should be covered by the British mainstream press.
Seeing Big Show with hair was just weird, to be honest.
I mean, my dad was saying to me, he said, I listened to one of your podcasts the other day. Mm. I said, oh, which one? He said, it's about that Hell in a Cell.
Right,
I said, oh, yeah? What did he say? He said, oh, I loved it. He said, I thought it was brilliant. So he really enjoyed it.
That is the difference between your dad and my dad.
So, Dad, thanks for being the best of the Wrestle Me Dads. I love you, Dad. I love you.
I respect you for the things you gave me as a young man.
Oh, that's
like asthma.
My dad didn't give you asthma. it is a funny WrestleMania. I thought I'd really enjoy this one. I thought we were going to be like, this is where it's off the hook.
Yeah.
And people will be listening to this and they'll be going, no, I remember this WrestleMania. It's really good. I thought
Watch
I remembered
it.
This WrestleMania as well. Yeah, it's really, really, considering the talent that's there, I think pretty much all of the pay-per-views around this have got much better matches.
Yeah.
And this one, somehow, it just fizzles.
Yeah, I mean, the main event is The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. That had a bit of intensity to it. Everything else is just a little bit like, what's happening now? Sorry, what?
Yeah, I'll tell you what the other thing I've really noticed about this one, this is a WrestleMania that has Michael Cole, the ring announcer, in.
Yes.
And it's because Jim Ross has been having bouts of Bell's palsy. So
that's what. So when he returns,
he comes
later
in for the main event. Yeah.
His one side of his face is completely gone. And I actually, because I went to the Wikipedia and I was like, have I heard that he's got something wrong with him? Or have I just. There are so many stories in wrestling and I can't keep it on top of them.
It would look like. It looks essentially like he's had a stroke.
Well, I typed in stroke into Control F, stroke, tried to find the word stroke. It wasn't in there.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, maybe that's just what his face is like. No, but he was. Yeah, he when he.
Bell's palsy is a sort of form of facial paralysis.
Yes, yeah.
And the problem I say the problem. I mean, this is sort of a disgraceful thing. And again, if this wasn't wrestling, it would be handled very differently.
Yeah.
Jim Ross is regarded as being the greatest wrestling announcer. I think you could make the case of all time.
Yeah.
He gets a bit parodied for some of the repetitions he did. You know, my God, Austin, you know, done it, all this sort of stuff. But he's very, very good at getting a match over. Mick Foley always said when he was working out his matches, he imagined Jim Ross commentating them because he was going, what would Jim do in that situation?
Yeah.
And if that sounds good, then that will really help the match. So he's very, very good. But he had Bell's palsy.
Right.
And it affected the muscles in his face. They droop. And what they kept doing with him was they would fire him. And so
every time he had a dose?
I believe that Vince McMahon said that television, of course, a very visual medium. Wrestling is a visual spectacle. And what you don't want is a guy who's in his 50s with a drooping face, because that is not sexy and is not cool.
But you see him like for 5 seconds.
Exactly.
Like, I can't remember.
They could have kept him behind the desk and nobody would have
Michael
noticed.
Cole is dressed like an oil prospector.
I know.
He's dressed like someone out of like There Will Be Blood.
The bizarre thing as well is that you go, what we need is someone hot and sexy. And you look at Michael Cole and you go, yeah, this fine piece of ass. Oh, sweet mama.
Put a fucking shirt on, Lola. You know when you sweat into a shirt?
Yeah.
Like, it gets in the shirt, but it doesn't necessarily touch the the lining of your jacket. Yeah. But with him, all of his sweat just going into his fucking line of his jacket. And there is like a thin layer of cotton.
Yeah.
Like cotton wool in between the fibre. Like, it's disgusting.
And maybe he's seen a member of law enforcement somewhere in the building. Absolutely shredding. Can't believe it.
It's disgusting.
Michael Cole, the other thing that he do with that is Vince McMahon begins to take more of a controlling hand in commentary.
Right.
So he begins feeding lines, and Michael Cole, certainly in the early days, is having to parrot everything that Vince is doing. And Vince develops a thing where he doesn't like the action being explained. So you're watching it, he doesn't want someone going hammerlock into a headlock, rolls him over, you know, front chancery.
That's quite old school, isn't it, at this
point?
What
he wants is them saying, The Undertaker, The Phenom, and telling you the storylines.
Yeah.
So what you get in this is, it's like cramming for exams.
Yeah, well, like, he's doing all of that, and then you got, like, well, I mean, you got one commentator doing that, and then you got one commentator going, oh, look at them tits.
Oh, exactly.
Like, it's just...
Exactly. Michael
obscene.
Cole is reading the history of wrestling as it happens, while Jerry Lawler is going, glad to fuck that!
Yes, that's all he's doing!
Woo!
Look at that little bum! Look at that little bum chase coming out of my shorts!
I'd like to cut her arms off, because she's so sexy! Woo! Stick them arms up my butt! You know, I mean, it is just... it's perplexing. And of course, Lawler really is at his worst.
Lawler, who died today.
Getting a lock from the police because he's been found with his arms cut off. Lawler is at his worst in the Attitude Era because he's a good colour man. He's really funny. He's witty. In this period, he is just
continually... He's given license to do whatever he wants. Isn't he?
You put a woman in front of him and he either goes, woohoo, I'd like to shag her, or he goes, woohoo, she's the ugliest dog I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't fuck her with yours.
Yeah.
And it's tiring. Mm. It's really tiring. My wife, we first started watching wrestling again around this period.
Yeah.
Partly, this is the first WrestleMania ever to come out on DVD as well.
Okay.
So I remember getting a DVD player quite early on and seeing this wrestling thing, and I couldn't sort of work out who any of the people were. I was like, is that Cactus Jack in this one? And that's Steve Austin, but Steve Austin had blonde hair.
Mm.
Really sort of confused. Mm. But we started watching this, and she has never, ever liked Jerry Lawler as a result, because she was introduced to him at this period when all he's doing is going, whoa, gotcha. Yeah. Then, of course, she found out, you know, that he's had a number of run-ins with the law over the years for similar things.
Yay.
I don't believe he's been found guilty of any of them, so we will say that they were irrelevant.
It's massively irrelevant. As irrelevant as wearing a shirt. Mm. It all kicks off with 4-time Grammy Award winners.
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 years... after End of the Road, I will have to say. I know they're Philadelphia's own.
Yeah.
But I don't think the City of Brotherly Love extends so far as to accept Boys to Men 8 years after their heyday singing the national anthem.
I did notice as well, though, they are the only 4 bloody people of colour in that entire stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There is nobody else.
No. There's one kid who holds up Cold Stoned 420. Later on, with a sign pointing to his own face. going, I don't like beer, I like weed. Ha ha.
Somebody roll this dog a bone, daddy. I think the road dog comes and says, at one point, literally saying to the crowd, give me drugs. Give road dog drugs.
Road dog needs drugs.
All joking aside, I know this is fun, we'll enjoy the performance. Give me some drugs.
And not the kind of drugs you think we like. I like the sleepy drugs. Yeah. Them lot, they like the exciting, crazy drugs. But I like the sleepy drugs.
I don't want any of your performance enhancing drugs. I want
to be slowed down.
Curtailing drugs.
Well, enough of it was smoked over this weekend, it seems.
The best thing about Boys to Men is that three of them turn up wearing that sort of like shiny PVC leatherette.
One of them is dressed like Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
He is. He's got a really comfy looking grey top and really bright blue jeans. And he sort of has a slight look as well of like one of those mentoring programs where you've got young lads who are a bit sort of like, you know,
from the street.
They're from the street. Yeah. And you go sort of like, well, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take them out for the weekend to Kew Gardens. And he sticks out like a sore thumb.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
They they make some really, really weird...
Sorry, talking about protein monsters...
Pull some chicken out of your own trousers?
I've got a whole, like, half chicken in my pocket, sorry. Sorry to disrupt the podcast.
I need my protein. I got to have my protein every 24 minutes. I got to be in peak formation.
I think that's really important.
I wake up at 3 and boil eggs.
Well, we spoke to a guy who, last time we went to see some wrestling, a friend of mine who looks after some of the British wrestlers when they're wrestling in America and stuff. And like that, you'll be in a meeting with them and stuff, and they'll just be looking at their watches going... Right, I need to get some more protein in me. It's crazy.
Hardcore Holly was very famous for the fact that he would have an alarm on that went off, I think, every 2 hours through the night.
Bloody hell.
And he would, every 2 hours through the night, he'd wake himself up, he'd eat 3 chicken breasts or whatever it'd be, he'd go back to sleep, 2 hours later, same thing, eat again.
Does he ever shit, that guy? Maybe that was hardcore because his shit looked like hardcore.
Yes,
the building material.
A hardcore of shit that just sits in his chest. If you try and
like
lift him up,
bad ambergris.
He weighs about 50. Stone, bad ambergris.
Your love is like bad ambergris.
Bad ambergris is a great nickname that if you had it and you were like, I'm bad ambergris Pete Donaldson, the wrestler, and it goes, interesting nickname, where does it come? And I'm full of compacted shit. Why are you not booking that bad ambergris Pete Donaldson again? Don't ask. All I'm going to say is, $8,000 to replace that toilet.
Yeah, it smells of poo. He smells of poo all the time. But we do have Boyz II Men, and it's a fine performance because they are professional singers and they're very good. But what happened to the fucking DX band?
I know.
What happened to the DX band, Mark?
I know. Do we see them again? Do they make a reappearance?
At WrestleMania? Possibly not.
Certainly, there's a WrestleMania coming up where Lemmy from Motorhead does Triple H's theme and everything, but I don't think we ever see the DX band again.
Aww.
Maybe the lead singer has gone back to working in the pipe industry, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was
involved in
or something,
sort of Teamster in internal... air conditioning thing. Go back and listen to the other episodes he's on because you hear his music and it is amazing. Absolutely on the same page. I like the bit as well with Boyz II Men. They sing and they do choose these funny notes that you sort of go, oh, have they got that wrong? And then you
but they haven't because they're brilliant.
Yeah. And then you go, no, it was a choice they made that was unusual. but they end it really nicely. And a lot of the times, especially at this period, you'd find that urban acts had a very, very rough time.
Yeah.
When they were doing things like Salt and Pepper when they did WrestleMania a few ago, and they just get booed, and actually the crowd go wild for them here, but they do a really sort of muted version of the anthem that's really sort of nice, and their harmony singing, and then they set off fireworks in the ring that are just a bit sort of like, oh no, that really just that came to a nice end. You don't need to go. But they were good. They were good. It's also at this point that you first see the sign that says Big Red Retard.
Oh, good. I don't think I saw that one. Once, to be honest.
It comes up a lot in the Kane match,
A lot of signs. One man had at this point had a Butterbean sign. Now, who has... who's a fan of Butterbean?
I am a huge fan of Butterbean. I think that particular match, I know we're going to get to it, but I think that's one of the highlights of this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it caps off a story that I find endlessly fascinating.
Okay.
Which is the Brawl for All tournament. And I was thinking about doing this for WrestleMemus, but it's notoriously bad. And really, you need to get to this point before you can be interested in what happened before.
Okay.
So we will talk about
that. Okay. Well, it kind of all kicks off with after Boyz II Men. We go back to that montage where they're trying to sort of explain to people who might like wrestling back in the day that don't worry, these old men still respect what's happening here.
Classy even though Freddie Blassie
woman's
is here.
Just fell out. Yeah, just don't worry about it.
they choose Classy Freddie Blassie, who is a sort of very beloved character in his day. I mean, he was a brutal, violent man. One of his nicknames was the Vampire, Fred Blassie, and he was just a sort of gnawer at people's heads. But he comes out and he does this really ponderous time. No beginning, no end. An infinite procession towards mortality. Can we just see some wrestling? We don't need to. But he does say at one point, he says, you know, like the mythic gods of ancient Greece, this is the showcase of the immortals.
Mm.
If anything, wrestling is the showcase of people who die too young.
Of the frequently mortal.
Yeah.
Mortal in the northeastern term, drunk mortal. And also being incredibly mortal in that they die in car crashes.
I do like this period because those sorts of little bits is really the first time the WWF begin curating and being the custodian of wrestling.
Yes.
And they begin accepting their old history in a way that they hadn't for a long, long time.
They were like, oh, look at this new shiny thing, look at this new shiny thing. But now it's kind of like, oh, we're doing something new, but this is what we were
about. They give
about.
A sense of heritage as well. Mm. And the heritage, that's become increasingly important over recent years. Things like the network, with them essentially reclaiming the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I mean, I think they do a great job. If they hadn't been interested in the history of wrestling, and if they didn't do that, then it would have pretty much disappeared. It would be like British wrestling here.
Yes.
No one is curating that. You cannot access it. It doesn't exist. It's disappearing.
I reckon we could just buy, if we had like 40 grand, we could buy a huge chunk of the rights to British wrestling.
I didn't just go through boxes at Christmas. I looked to see who owned the rights to the world of sport wrestling.
Yeah.
And I can't work it out.
No.
But there are definitely like archives that have been owned by people who aren't anything to do with wrestling.
Yes,
They're sitting in warehouses somewhere. So
they bought Blankety Blank and also Wild
exactly.
Wrestling. They've just bought us it. Like, remember when we did? I was less of a writer than you were, but we were both writing on the International Sexy Lady Show.
Yes,
for
yes.
a. American TV channel, I think
it was, yeah.
And and we'd got the rights, we'd bought the rights, or the company that were employing us had bought the rights to Eurotrash.
That's right, so they could strip mine it.
Yes, yeah. Just basically just clave stuff out. And we also had, there was a Ghost Watch kind of thing on Zoo TV, on Nuts TV.
Yes, Nuts that's TV. Right. Was it called something like Naked and Frightened?
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid.
And it notably had Katie Piper, the girl who'd got acid in her face.
Yes,
pre-incident.
Got ya.
And I was like, I know that woman. She was in Naked and Afraid on the International Sexy Ladies Show.
You might be one of those people who said, I'll listen to a new podcast. Do you know what? This has got a load of reviews. People are nice about it. Let's have a look. And they'd go, is wrestling a bit seedy though? Don't worry. You're in safe hands. We used to work on the International Sexy Ladies Show, which featured Naked and Afraid.
And bad Korean kind of like power. Family titty entertainment.
Sort of women sitting on sort of like cakes and things.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's not a career highlight.
No.
But it's interesting when it comes to the licensing of television property.
I was surprised how few times we worked together, Mark. We worked on WrestleMe, the XFM record show, and the International Sexy Lady Show.
Yeah. I bet there are more people who are going, oh, I remember the International Sexy Lady Show, than there are who go, XFM or WrestleMe. That's our legacy.
Oh dear.
I know someone who bought the rights to Pat Sharp's Funhouse.
Right,
and it wasn't Pat Sharp's Funhouse. And I wasn't quite sure what that meant, but they were sort of saying, well, I own the title Funhouse, I own the concept of the twins.
Yes, okay.
I own the game.
Oh, yes,
is the
yes,
thing.
Yes.
And he bought that for, I think, it was a few grand.
Mm.
He didn't do anything with it. And then he was reading a paper, and it said in the paper, Pat Sharp's Funhouse to return. And he went, oh, brilliant, I own the rights to that. And he looked down the thing and it said, the person who owns the rights. He was like, that's not me. And so he rang up his sort of lawyer and said, what's going on here? And they said, your rights to it expired about 2 weeks ago. You just didn't notice. And someone else has bought them in this weird...
Immediately,
they wash up on the shore of somewhere.
There must be a website that does this sort of thing.
That must be the dark web.
People buying
the rights to Pat Sharp's Funhouse on the dark web.
Because I remember when I used to have a challenge, I used to have voiceovers for them, I wasn't allowed to use certain phrases when it came to Bullseye.
Uh-huh. It's a load of fucking crap. It's Bullseye.
I wasn't allowed to say Super Smashing Great.
Mm.
Nothing in this game for two in the bed, I think, as well.
Everybody loves a bit of Bully.
I was allowed to say that.
Right.
There was just certain things I wasn't allowed to say because
weird.
Jim Bowen owned them.
But how weird there's been something where they've sat there and Jim Bowen has said, right, I'm going to pay £5
for that
because I want that one.
That one.
And they go, do you want Everyone Loves a Bit of Bully? And going... No, you let that one go. I just want to keep them all.
That's not transferable.
How strange.
Yeah, it really is.
But I mean, this is a genuine thing. If anyone, I need to make two shout outs. One is if anyone does have an archive or knows where archives are, don't contact them. This is not an open bid.
No.
I'm just interested to know where these things might be.
Mm.
If you're someone who owns one, just let us know because it's interesting what people are doing. I'm not interested in your business affairs. I don't work for the tax. I'm just like, I wonder where all this wrestling has gone.
Do you want to see you're the tax?
The second second one is if you've won some stupid amount of money and you're like, I'd like to buy Wrestle Me the podcast, an archive,
yeah,
then do also contact
exactly.
us. Because that would help out. But yeah, I think we should own it. And then just like all these rights holders just sit on it and then sell it on sometime.
At some point in the near future.
It's what people do.
So a lot of signs in this one, Marco. Mm. Actually, one of them, I saw one sign saying the Raging Climax. And I was like, oh, is that, are they like a tag team or something? Uh-huh. No, that's the subtitle of the entire fucking show, Mark.
And they never use it in the actual show itself.
The Raging Climax!
The Raging Climax. They've got rid of the G as well.
Yeah.
Raging Climax.
The Raging Climax.
I don't want a Raging Climax.
I don't want any of it.
Raging Climax.
I've got the Raging Climaxes.
I heard you went to WrestleMania last night. Did you meet anyone nice? Yes, I met Henry Godwin. How did it go? There was a Raging Climax. Are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I mean, it's a terrible title.
It's the sort of thing like an Australian cop might hear. It was a Raging Climax, mate. It was fucking everywhere.
You've heard him, my lad. It was a Raging Climax. Case closed.
Bang, bang, bang. I don't know where they have gavels. They might not.
There were two dark matches on this WrestleMania. One is a match between the female wrestlers Jacqueline and Ivory, and then there's a 15-man battle royale where the last two people in the ring go on to face the tag team champions in the main WrestleMania show.
A wasted
big schmoz of stuff.
Why wouldn't you put that on the television?
Well, the other thing is, of course, you have a year to build up to WrestleMania. Mm. Why not have a program that meant something rather than just absolutely haphazardly throwing two people together? There's a funny thing about replica matches. So when you have someone who comes out to do a match, people, when they see them five matches hence, have no interest. There's no reaction to it. Mm. And it's a very, very easy thing to get wrong. So on this one, they've already brought all these people out. You see these two winners, you go, oh, I don't care about them. And then next match, they're coming out. What are you going to do? You're just going to go,
Ngh.
Yeah. And this match is rubbish.
You've reduced the kind of the pop, haven't you? I mean, I couldn't see any of this match because it's...
No, sorry, I meant the tag match. I've not seen this dark match. It does actually have a load of sort of WrestleMania firsts. Mm. So it's the first ever Matt and Jeff Hardy WrestleMania appearance. You have Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge, who are Public Enemy. I think it's their only WrestleMania appearance. So there are some sort of interesting names that are in there. Tiger Ali Singh as well, who is he should never have been on a WrestleMania, not much of a performer.
He was wrestling, he was with McFoley when he did the...
That was his father, who was Tiger Jeet Singh.
I
wonder how this not very good wrestler ended up being signed to WWF. Could it be anything to do with nepotism? That would never happen in the WWE.
No.
Stephanie.
we'll hear about that a little later on.
Yeah. Shall we do the first match if we've got time?
Let's do the first match before we chip off.
Yeah, great. This is the Hardcore Championship between Badass Billy Gunn, Bob Hardcore Holly, and Al Snow with Head.
Well, I asked early in this run of shows, probably about this time last year, whether any wrestler had ever had two heads.
Yes, you did.
And here's Al Snow with his plastic hairdresser's model to prove me right. Right, wrong.
A lot of people, I like the fact you just ask a question. Has there ever been a wrestler with two heads? And the answer comes back and you go, I am right. No, lots of people
right
got onto us. A lot of people got to us on Twitter at the time to say, what about Al Snow? Mm. And Al Snow had this gimmick. What does everybody want? Head. What does everybody need? Head. And he has a shop dummy's head.
Why do when they do kind of like mad guy gimmicks, men who have gone crazy and stuff, why do they always choose the cleanest cut, least interesting men? They're never like ugly. They're always like beautiful men. They're like, he's gone crazy. He's crazy, that guy. He runs around with a head that tells him what to do.
There's a really odd thing here, which is about the blending of reality and fantasy, which is that...
He really wanted head. He's got in all kinds of trouble.
Al Snow was a journeyman wrestler who had always been seen as being one of these very, very talented guys who just could not break through.
Yeah.
And he had a short WWF at the time run in various sort of roles that didn't really fit him. He was a Leaf Cassidy, which was a sort of mix of David Cassidy and Leaf Garrett, the 70s. I mean, you know, I mean, the idea that someone came up with that and sort of thought, well, one day this could make some money, you know, it's lunatic. And he'd been in the New Rockers with Marty Jannetty, which I should imagine was boozy. and he was a masked character whose name escapes me at the minute, but I mean he just couldn't really click. And this character it not only sort of got over, it was a bit like Mick Foley, where I think people had respect for him, and that really helped him. So it doesn't quite make sense when you see it. You sort of go, well, what is he supposed to be? He's got a gimmick about what does everybody want head, and then he's wearing a T-shirt saying Job Squad because he was always a bit, you know, a jobber, and that was a sort of throwback to the fact that he was not a big star, and he's got sort of blonde hair and a handlebar moustache, and he looks sort of quite handsome. What is this? But you see it and you just go, oh, it's Al Snow with head.
Yeah.
You know, you're sort of weirdly familiar with it. It's only out of context. It seems weird.
It does. Those dummies, you sort of see them a lot. The first time, sorry to talk about Japan again, but the first time I went to Japan, hairdressers cut the hair and then they just put them in clear plastic bags and leave them outside the hairdressers. Uh-huh. And so you'll just see these bags of heads everywhere around. And I remember, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever, someone's pulled up and the bag, and there's just heads. These heads just with bad haircuts all over the all over the street. And
sounds a bit like walking down Old Street. At a call to 11 at night, please, actually.
Well, I picked up one of them, and there was a garbage van going past, and a bin lorry, and I booted one, drop kicked it straight into the bin lorry. It's the best thing I've ever done.
I'd love to see the CCTV of that, because it would just look like a man walking down with a decapitated head, which he boots into a bin van, and then it's all destroyed. The evidence gone.
What do you want? 25 to life. Head.
We know a crime was committed. We don't know who or or when. This is a hardcore match. Hardcore matches were very, very big at this period. They've introduced the hardcore title a few months before, and it's all about that sort of ECW style. It's, you know, your hockey sticks and your cookie sheets and things.
It just seems like making a big mess at the start of the
It does,
the match.
Yeah. But these were hugely over. I mean, they probably had peaked within about 3 or 4 years, at which point they were just, there was no reaction to them, really. Right. And they were very much for people in the mid-card. Billy Gunn was not very keen on this style. He'd spoken in interviews that he didn't really enjoy having to do all this. He said he was a fish out of water. He comes in wearing a T-shirt that just says, check out my ass.
Yeah, have we spoken about Mr. Ass?
Well, he had that foam ass, if you remember, that we got obsessed with.
That's right. That's right. But, check out my ass.
But it's a strange, I still don't know. I mean, that T-shirt, you wear them because you want people to buy them. And then you're selling it to someone who's got a thing on it that says, check out my ass. And if you mean it seriously, that's wrong. If you don't, you look stupid. It's bad gimmick, Pete. Bad gimmick is what
I'm saying.
I think
it's for gigantic fat men. Because it's like, oh, I'm not fat. It's a solar power for a sex machine. So, you know, like a bald man. I don't know. But like, it's that kind of joggy T-shirt. Ha ha, aren't I sexy?
Yeah. Although when Billy Gunn is wearing it, he is sort of sexy, but...
He's got a good ass.
It's just blokes watching as well. So it's like, what message do you want, Billy? Are you telling the men, the heterosexual men, to check out your ass? Is that or are you saying, if you're a homosexual man, please do, you know, I'm inclusive.
Call me.
All of this is confusing.
It's very confusing, Billy.
It should just say, please do not look at my ass.
It is dangerous.
Then someone holds up in the middle of this a sign that just says, pork is kosher.
Right, yeah. So I noticed that later in the set up. What's that about? Is that a wrestling thing or just a confused boy?
No, it's just someone still trying to trick the Jewish viewers. I don't know why.
The only thing I wonder is
we
have got the sign from the lawn.
I wonder if it's something to do with South Park is the only thing.
Yeah.
Because this is the era.
Very South Park heavy.
So much South Park stuff. As you'll later see when we take a trip to the Rage Party.
My God. Well, Hardcore Holly wins this match. So Billy Gunn, like, first things first, Billy Gunn comes out and he karate chops his belly and he spits out water. Like, if the Attitude Era for me, I'm sure people have their ideas about what the Attitude Era for them means, but it just seems to be a lot of people spitting out water.
It does, it does. You'd
it's
actually.
A lot of that.
Yeah, it's funny as well because, like, Stone Cold has got the beer thing.
Yeah.
And there are very few other wrestlers who are really allowed to do the beer thing.
Yeah.
So later on, the APA, the Acolytes, they have a beer drinking gimmick.
Right.
But everyone else is a bit like, oh, well, that's gimmick infringement, isn't it?
What's APA stand for?
APA was the Acolyte Protection Agency.
Oh,
it was Farooq and Bradshaw. They talking, oh my lord, this is the era where they do one of the greatest T-shirts of all time. I think it might come in the year sort of after this.
Right.
But they released an APA t-shirt, Acolytes Protection Agency.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they did a t-shirt where they thought, what else could it stand for that is hard and aggressive?
Right.
And they printed it with a logo and it said, the APA, always pounding ass.
Again,
it's,
guys.
It's a classic
guys,
t-shirt.
You've done a Billy Gunn.
And there is this alternative reading of wrestling, which is all about a load of men just walking around going, I'm going to pound your ass. you ain't going to pound my ass. Maybe I'll pound yours.
Tom of Finland cartoon.
I would, again, I mean that is a t-shirt that we need to track down. I'll put a photo of it on the Twitter thing.
Always pounding ass.
Always pounding ass.
Wow.
You would say, that got through a lot of eyes. You know, did not one person go, that doesn't sound like a fighting thing. that is pounding.
Just concentrating. It's the pounding. Pounding is problematic.
Why wasn't it, you know, always punching, you know, at all? I don't know. Something else. No, let's go for always pounding ass. What about always pummeling ass? No, not as good.
Protecting ass.
It lacks the sort of, I don't know, the weird sort of hippie motion I feel with the word pound.
So it ends up with Hardcore Holly winning the Hardcore Championship. If he didn't, Hardcore Holly's not as hardcore as you'd expect, really.
Bob Holly worked as, he'd been in a character called Sparky Plug, Thurman Sparky Plug, in the sort of Dayglow 90s era, where he was a NASCAR driver.
Okay.
And he'd reinvented himself, really. And his reinvention was to go, not one of these fucking gimmicks. And so he turns up here in black trunks, and he's most famous for his run as Hardcore Holly. And he was a, you know, by all accounts, you know, he's a tough guy. He's a solid thumper, and he's a bit of a bully.
Yeah,
he wrote quite a good autobiography, which is well written, because he managed to last for quite a long time. So he goes through really till the mid 2000s, and nobody from the mid 2000s particularly has written much about it. So Bob Holly's book is one of the few that covers that interesting period as they go to what's known as the sort of ruthless aggression eras.
We've reached the end of another show. We got through one match and two dark ones. And Boys to Men.
Two dark ones we didn't even see.
No, exactly.
I mean, you tried to make salvage it a bit there.
Didn't even explain it, no. Really. If you want to get to the show, it's just the email address now.
I think it's show@wrestlemepod.com. Yeah.
show@wrestlemepod.com if you want to get involved.
I really wish I'd done that with conviction, because it was right. And we're on Twitter at WrestleMePod.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys. Hey, happy 2019. Hope it's going swimmingly for you. And hope you haven't got a really sort of hard column of shit inside you.
that's something we can all get behind.
Yeah. WrestleMePod,
check out my ass.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.